Okay, starting to record. Now, if you would test someone out. Okay, just quick, because we're in the middle of something right now. Let's see what we're talking about. So we had a, we had a machlokes tanoim in the Mishnah, whether you could be term me truma tahira al hatameya. Tanakama says ein tarmin, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says tarmin. The Gemara said that Rabbi Elazar said that you could be tarmin atar al hatame. That's only if it's balach. The Gemara first tried to say that lach meant that the olives were covered, wet through vinegar. What's that called? Pickled through vinegar. Thank you. And they were put in the at the mouth that was smaller than a kibetza of a
funnel,
which would create a chibur to the chavis, and that way it would be minam mukaf.
It would touch it
at the very, very tip. So
the funnel would touch it with the olives.
The olives that are stuffed into the funnel. The olives that are at the very end of the funnel would touch it. So let's say there were three olives in there that were stuffing the little hole there. So those olives would taka become tummy, but that would be it. That would be the extent of it.
I didn't understand that. Can you explain it just a little bit more? So there's only three olives in that funnel?
No,
the funnel. Imagine it's
all these olives are
not
wet.
It doesn't matter. They're not all going to become tummy just because they're wet.
Because they're pickled?
No, they are pickled. They are pickled.
Oh, so
and they are
wet because
the whole
of vinegar.
The reason why we're insisting that they be wet is so that they form a glob. So they're not flying out all over the place. If they'd be dry, you'd be afraid that it would roll out and fall into the whole thing would fall out into the tume. Like this, you're confident that it's gonna hold that seal with the olives because they're wet and they form like a stuffed pipe.
How is this different than the date cake that we had and it was connected with the liquid that half of it was tamei, half of it was tahar?
It's exactly the same.
Oh, it's the same.
It's
cake.
Very similar.
Okay.
In that it is not matame the rest of it.
Okay.
And the other reason why it's not matame the rest of it, another reason we said is because the opening is less than the size of a kibetza, and so, less than a kibetza, even though it's makabel tuma, it's not matame acherim. So we have less than a kibetza of tuma being nageya other olives, which is not matame. So therefore, again, it's not going to be matame. Okay, so that's you got it.
So that point.
Okay, that's the introductory remark here from Reb Loi. Now we're going to have, let's see, is that it? Yeah. Now the Gemara is going to start off. The Gemara wants to know why did you do a kibetza? Why did you do less than a kibetza? That's in order to minimize the amount of olives at the end of the barrel that will become tummy. We want to keep as many tar as possible. Okay, on Mulai, we're now on your testimony off. So now the Chacham are responding to Reb Loi, and they're saying, no, ain l'chol kori lach el yayin v'shem l'vavad. You can't have lach. The terminology of lach means that it is actually a liquid. It's not just, you know, pickled olives. That's also pickled olives or unpickled olives, all the same. They're all have lach of yavesh. The only thing that's called lach is liquid. Now, how is it possible to have a liquid? In a liquid, it's not possible to have half tameh, half tahar. So what's going on? That's what Gemara's going to explain.
Wait a minute, if it's pickled in water or...
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's still called, as far as the Chacham hold, that as far as this halacha is concerned, it has the same halacha of yavesh. The only thing as halacha of lach, as far as this halacha is concerned, or Rabbi Eliezer, who's makel in the Mishnah, that when we say that he's makel only by lach, it's only makel by an absolute liquid. Now, how is it possible?
What makes shemen and yayin lach versus other kinds of liquids? That's achadah. That's
hmm?
Achadah.
These are the ones that are chayav in maisers.
Yeah, but not vinegar.
I'm not talking about vinegar.
No, I'm talking about what's chayav in maisers, right? What's chayav in truma? Olives, olive oil, grapes, wine. Those are the other liquids. I mean, right. dam, tal, mayim. Dvash? And none of those other things are shayach to maisers. Dvash is date honey. I don't know. Maybe dvash. Okay, so let's see what it says over here. Milk certainly not higher than in maisers. So hey Chavino, what's the case? Fractigmar, what's the case? How is it possible to have min hamukof by a liquid where part was tamei and part is tahar? That's the question. So the Gemara says, kara achas shnei baras. Let's suppose you have one beam for two cisterns. So I don't know how you picture this. So you have a cistern. Let's make sure we all understand. Cistern is the recipient or the vessel area where the liquid comes out of the press and it flows into a cistern. It's the lower bore, right? So lower bore. Now, so and the way I guess you can envision it this way: you have two bores, right next to each other. One is tamei, one is tahar, and you have on a rope a big heavy beam that you push into one and you push into the other. You're swinging the beam from right to left, depending on.
That forces a spillover from one to the other.
Well, hopefully not. Let's assume that there's not spillover, right? Because if you're going to have tamei oil falling into the other one. So, but the fact, the Gemara is just saying a chiddush over here. The fact that they are sharing one beam, even though they are in two separate receptacles, makes it min hamukaf. It's mitzarif them to be considered one. Okay?
Because you're moving the korah from one place to the
other. Yes, yes. The korah is mitzarif them. That's right. Yeah, you got a problem?
I thought this beam was laying across two different.
How did you envision it?
You got a pile here, got a pile here. The beam sitting on top of them both, and they're both dripping.
Right.
Okay, that's fine also. That's fine also. I gave that's another way of saying it. So Sam is just saying for Abe and Svi.
In Sam's case, they're touching the
olives at the same time. The beam is pushing down on both piles. The two piles are draining into two separate cisterns. The fact that there are two separate cisterns doesn't matter because the beam is mitzarif them. That's also fine shot. Fine. So the Gemara says, Shnei koros lebor echad. Similarly, if there are two beams for one cistern. So what's that? One second. What do you mean two beams?
Both beams smash.
Seven. Let's see. Seven. There's only one cistern. The cistern combines the oil into one batch. Right. All the oil is considered to be proximate to each other, even though some of it is tamei, some of it is tahar. It's not exactly clear to me. So it's. You're getting the oil out of it first. You empty the oil out that's tahar first out of there. Then you put in a new batch of oil, and that becomes tamei. How do you have tamei and tahar at the same time?
You have two piles in one cistern. You're starting with a solid olives, right?
So you which is tamei?
The one on my right hand.
The one on your right hand is tamei. Right. So when you squeeze that one on your right hand. And it drips into the cistern, doesn't it? Isn't it with tamei all the other oil?
So that's what the issue is. Yeah.
It's a question.
Yeah. We're trying to answer.
That's the
Gemara's
question.
The Gemara's going to ask the question. So the Gemara says, "Nicha karachas shtei baros." We understand that. Al shnei karos lebar echad. Let me talk shenitma mitzasa nitmu kolam. That's the question we just asked, right?
Right.
Rav Lo, the answer of the Gemara. Rav Lo b'shem Rav Lazar. You think that I have learned this once, right? Rav Lo b'shem Rav Lazar. Tefter Shai, I believe, Velasas Tfusa Achas. Oh, here's the case. Your original intent was to make it one batch, right? In a single cistern. But then, Nimlach Lasoso Shnei Tfusas, and then you change your mind. Okay, one of the cisterns then became Tomei, since he originally planned to make it one, so they have a lock like one. Okay, I think they say that it has to be that it became Tomei, I think, after you made this decision. I think it speaks this out. I think Gemara's going to say, the Gemara's going to qualify this here. So, Amar Rabbi Yosi, what?
One of the systems became Tomei afterwards.
But yeah,
since,
yeah.
But since he planned to combine them.
Correct.
That's the issue.
If he used two separate beams to press the olives, all the oil is treated as one batch, since his original intent was to combine it all into a single cistern. Okay? Right. Okay, next. So, Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbon, Hadon Detema B'Shanit M'Misha Shilo M'Misha Kippa. That which you say that the Truma can be taken from the wine, from the Torah on the Tomei, that's when it became Tomei, after you remove the seeds and skins of the grapes from the wine. You have to have some sort of, well, I guess you would call this the Nigmar Malakto stage of making wine, right?
You're switching now from olives to grapes.
To wine, yeah, we're talking about wine. Shekvar Niru L'Tarma B'Tara. So then there was a time where the Truma could be separated in a state of Tara. But if it became Tomei before you got to that stage, then you wouldn't have that heter from Rabbi Elazar, right? Since the wine in the Tomei cistern was never fit to have Truma taken when it was Tar, so therefore you won't be able to do it later. Okay, in other words, he's requiring that at some point it was Roy to have Tar on Tahar, it just it became Tomei. The fact that it's next to each other and considered one is enough to allow it, the heter to go weiter. Okay? Anything else here? Yeah.
What he says in the third line in 12.
Yeah.
The fourth line. Yeah, that's important.
The Mishnah Maestras?
Yeah.
Identifies Maramalacha stage of wine as being when the seeds and skins are removed from the cistern.
Yeah.
So before this is done, one may not separate Maestras from the wine. Hence, if the wine became Tomei before the seeds and skins were removed, it was never fit to have Truma Tahara separated. That's exactly what I said. Yeah. Okay. Reb Tavi, Reb Yoshi, Reb Yanai. Halacha Reb Lazar. Now, again, we have a Machlaikas, right? We have Reb Lazar saying that you could be Mafresh when I Torah Al Tomei, and the Tanakhama said you could not. So now we have a Machlaikas. Do we pass on Reb Lazar or not? We have two Amoraim that say we pass on Reb Lazar. That's Reb Tavi, Reb Yoshi, Reb Yanai, Lachi Reb Lazar, and Reb Yisrael, and Achim, Bashem, Reb Yishiel, also say Lachi Reb Lazar, and then you have two against. From the Reb Chananya, ain't a Lachi Reb Lazar. Reb Yisrael, Reb Yehuda, Bashem, Shmuel, ain't a Lachi Reb Lazar. So we have two against two. So also Ovdo, Kumira Bimi, so its case came from Bimi, full of Hira, he wouldn't be moderate on my train, call Kavel train, Inun. It's two against two, and I don't want to pass him, right?
It doesn't matter which is more
He wasn't measuring the godless over here. On the bays, on relay, so they said Harab Yitzchak Bar Nachman Hayri. He actually went ahead and was Meira Halacha like Rabbi Eliezer. I feel okay lo Hayri. Nevertheless, if Imi would not rule upon it, he didn't feel comfortable. He didn't have, it says in the footnote 2, he didn't have the confidence to rule in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. I don't know what the Rambam says. I don't remember. Ein tarmim min ha-tomei al ha-tahar. So you can't take tomei on tahar. Tamon tanino. Let's see here. The Gemara is now going to quote a Mishnah in full Yom. Okay, there's a thing here like this. I think it's important to know this footnote number 4. Here we go. Look at footnote 4. What happens is you have the grape, you press the grapes, and the wine goes into the cistern, right? Now you're going to be mafresh truma. So the way they used to do it is they used to take the keli, they used to take a keli, which was going to be used to do the hafrashas truma, scoop up some wine, right, and suspend it above the vat. And then he would make a tanai, he would make a condition. He would say, you know what, I'm going to be mafresh truma on the condition that nothing happens to this suspended thing. There's two things that could happen. One, it could break, right? Like, or let's say it's being suspended by a rope. The rope snaps, and the thing falls back down into the wine. So if it's going to be truma, it's going to make everything dimua. It's going to ruin it, right? So I don't want that to happen. So what I'll do is I'll make a condition. If anything snaps or the thing breaks, then I want lamafreya, no truma. I'm like, all right, regular tonight, right?
Regular
tonight. The other thing that might happen, of course, is, as we all know, it might become tame. If it becomes tame, then, you know, even if it doesn't break, but it spills back down into the bottom, right? It loses its balance and some spills out. Again, I can make a condition. Oh, so now it says, these are the two mishaps that are quoted on the bottom here, 1 and 2, okay? Skipping over that. As we have seen, you can protect yourself against either mishap by stipulating specifically against that mishap. Now, what if someone doesn't, in other words, I could say, if it breaks, then it should be lamafreya, no truma. Or I could say, if it becomes tame, I want it lamafreya not to be truma. But what if I don't make a specific statement? I say,
If anything happens,
like a generic, that's the question. Hatarim eshabar, varmar harizu truma, nash shetala b'shalom, that it all comes, you know, peacefully. That, you know, salichinu l'shalom, sadrichinu l'shalom, and the truma shagit to the Kohen b'shalom, right? So that means what? What does that mean? So that's the Gemara's going to talk about. Shalom and hashever, safe from breakage. Shalom and hashvicha, safe from spilling, which would be the tumma, right?
No.
Shvicha is spilling, and that would be tumma. Because if it becomes tumma, all you have to have is a little spilling.
So what are the next words for me?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. I was just saying that off my head. So it means it shouldn't spill out. If it spills out on the floor, right? But not safe from tuma. So, in other words, because the Tanakhama holds that it's so rare for people that are tuma, don't hang around the presses because they know they don't belong there. You know, it's like a person with COVID shouldn't be hanging around, you know, the old age home. You know what I'm saying?
Or he should be online and not here.
And it's a good thing that Abe's online. Yeah, right, exactly. Reb Shimon says, no, it would even be Tumma, meaning even though it's not that Shkiach, but he has everything in mind. Apparently that's the idea, right? Let's see what it says here in 7. According to Tanakhama, although a general stipulation refers to the mishap of Truma falling, it does not refer to the Truma. Two reasons why this is so. One, the Rosh, that general stipulation refers only to a common mishap, such as wine falling back in. But to Tuma, that's considered a rare mishap. That's the Rosh's reason. That's what I spoke out. Mishnah Chorona explains a different reason. This is more of a psychological reason. Because when it comes to the Dimua, for it to spill back in, right? So that's going to be a personal loss for me personally. So I'm concerned about that. If it becomes Tomei, so that's the Kohen's headache. Right? I'm not worried about the Kohen. I'm worried only about myself. Right? That's Mishnah Chorona. The owner's general stipulation refers only to a mishap that affects him. Truma wine falling into Chulin, that's such a type of a mishap. It would cause the owner a loss, but Truma wine contracting Tuma is not such a mishap. This mishap will affect the Truma, it was a loss only to the Kohen. In other words, he didn't speak it out the way I did. I spoke it out that the truma was going to fall back in. That's not the case of the tuma. That's not the problem. The problem is even if it doesn't fall anywhere, the fact that it became tume means it's useless to the kohen. So I would stipulate that if it becomes tume, let it not be ois truma, and I'll give the kohen other stuff to use. Right. So anyway, bottom line is that's the Mishnah Berurah's explanation.
So the obligation of a person to give truma ends as soon as he declares it as truma.
All these stipulations are all lifnim mishur saden. He is under no obligation to make any of these stipulations.
No, but my question to you is: When is the obligation complete?
Does the kohen have to come to me, or do I have to go to the kohen? Is that your question?
Do I have to deliver the?
Do you have to deliver it? I mean, I think.
Or he has to pick it up. Does he have to cone it? I think
we're going to see later on in the Masechta this question dealt with at length. Okay. Offhand, I don't know what the exact answer is. Because
here you're saying he doesn't have to even know about it.
I don't believe that it is his obligation to deliver it, but you have to be careful that he shouldn't come to the Beis HaGronos. There's a whole thing with coming to the Beis HaGronos to collect it, not. I don't remember the details. I would rather hold off answering that question. But the question of achrayus, that we've seen many times already, that you're not achray. If something happens to it, you are not responsible. According to Rav Shimon, the owner's general stipulation refers not only to truma falling into the chulin, but also to contracting tuma. Here, too, they offer two reasons why this is so. I mean, you could read number 8 and see why Rav Shimon disagrees. Okay, next. Amar Rav Yosi. Okay, so we have a machlokes. So Rav Shimon, the Gemara is now going to say Rav Shimon does not refer to all types of tuma. Amar Rav Yosi ben Chanina, but tumas tefula yom himas nisa. Rav Shimon is talking to the tuma of tefula yom. That is to say, that when you have in mind in your stipulation that if the truma will become tame, then it should be ice truma. You have in mind a tuma which is that of a tefula yom. But if it was a different kind of tuma that happened to the truma, because that is so infrequent, even Rav Shimon would agree to the Tanakama that he did not have that in mind. That seems to be what it's saying here, right? The designation is safe only if it's tefula yom, but if it was contaminated by a different type of tuma, he agrees with the sages that it's not safe. 10, only one type of tuma. Why is that? There is a certain amount of people who are tefula yom who are found there. Why they are there, I'm not 100% sure. 11. The reason I'll explain immediately below. I guess I forgot it.
I thought tefula yom doesn't mitame certain things.
Tefula yom.
Because it doesn't
it's do only truma. Only truma. So they went to the mikvah, and we have to wait till nightfall, for otherwise they have a time.
So if he makes it tonight, so then it's not truma, so then the tful yom won't count mitame.
Correct.
Right.
That's the chav.
Right.
That would be a chav.
Yeah.
Oh, so you want to say that's why the tonight only comes. That could be
only with the tful yom.
Right.
Because if it's not another tuma.
That's what the Gemara is saying.
That's actually what the Gemara is going to say in the next second. I'm Rabbi Yossi. I think you're Mechavit of the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi explains, Ein l'tful yom maga, it's a tevel. A tful yom does not have the capacity to contaminate tevel through contact, right? The tful yom can therefore freely enter the wine press without concern he might contaminate tevel, because while it's in the tevel state, there's no problem if he touches it. As long as you haven't been mafresh or anything, you're good, right? Full-fledged tummy person, on the other hand, could be mitame even tevel, so therefore he won't be found in the press. Okay. So the Gemara says, let's see, in the introductory remarks, it says that they both agree, the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon both agree, in the absence of any stated stipulation, right, you just do a hafrasha without saying anything, right? Then no unstated stipulation can be presumed. The Mishnah in Tful Yom cites a different opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who holds that in the absence of a stipulation, an unstated stipulation can be presumed. Okay, Tony, I'm Rav Yudon. What does Rav Yudon say? That what, regarding what case were these words, meaning the presumption of an unstated stipulation against spilling, b'truma gedola, shehi tzricha l'trumin hamukaf. That has to be done. That has to be done close together. So what? So you're since you have to be mafresh it when it's suspended in order for it to be in manam mukav. So therefore, there's a chash that something might happen. Avo b'trumas meiser, trumas meiser. We know there is no dim in manam mukav, like we've said many times, right? So if it doesn't need to be in manam mukav, so you don't have to be worried about it. You know, you could be mafresh it very far away from the core stuff that you're trying to be masakin. Afilu sha'ar kol dvarim shalom heim. So the other matters, the consequences of raking, rakish or spillage, are considered to be safe and preventable. So if you don't make use of this option, meaning if you didn't make the stipulation, then you're obviously not concerned about it. Meaning, even if you went ahead and made the hafrasha min hamukaf, right? It's not going to make a difference. We're not going to assume that there's an understood t'nai here, because you didn't, if you were really concerned about it, you should have made it separate. The fact that you didn't make it separate means you're not concerned.
So he has
dema. So you'll end up with dema, correct. And Demach will be crying for his stupidity, yes. Let's take a look at 20. Since Trumas Meiser needs not be designated in proximity, so it can be delayed until after the vessel has been placed a safe distance from the cistern. If you're concerned about possible meduma due to a spill, you had the option of making it far away. If he did not do so, you see you're not concerned with the whole possibility. So in such a case, if UIC does not presume an unstated stipulation on the owner's behalf, right? In the brackets, he brings that there are those who say that even though there's no biblical obligation to separate Trumas Meiser min Hamukov, but there might be a Rabbanon, Allison, or at least some side of Meiser Tzidkos, to do so. So then maybe if he should be concerned, I'm not sure about all this. In other words, if there's any tzad to say that doing even Trumas Meiser Shalom min Hamukov is not really the ideal way to be mafresh. What we're trying to say here is that maybe there's a real possibility that he is concerned. Then it will be like Trum Gadola. That's basically what it's saying. But he's not saying it as Dover Pashut. He says to look at somebody. He talks about it. The Rash, the Tvol Yom, which of course I didn't do. Okay, well, that's it for tonight, Rabbi Say.
It should be, everybody should be b'shalom.
Yeah, shalom.